Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The last few days have been very challenging. It's been a very difficult, extremely intense time for our community. I can honestly say that I've never seen anything like it in my life. It's been an unbelievable experience for me. And it hasn't been hard because I haven't been able to watch the NBA playoffs. It hasn't been hard because I wasn't able to watch the NASCAR race last night. I love NASCAR races. It hasn't been hard because I haven't been able to use the internet, or even because there was a couple trees that were down in my yard. That didn't make it hard. It's been hard because our community is suffering. And everywhere around us, we see pictures of damage and devastation. We see pictures of people who are at a time that could be the most challenging time in their life. It may be the most challenging time in their life for a number of reasons. It may be physical, it may be mental, it may be spiritual. But this is a challenging time. And this is a time that's going to take us months and years to recover from. To be able to see the pictures that have been in the newspapers, to be able to see, if you've had the opportunity or the ability to be able to see the video recordings on the internet via your cell phone or another means, if you've been able to have cable sparingly and see the things that have happened, if you've been able to just get in your car and drive around and see what some of the people in our community are dealing with, this is going to be difficult. And it's going to be a challenge. Now, there's a lot of people that are going to look at this challenge and say, there is no God. There's a lot of people that are going to look at this challenge and say, a loving and just and fair God would never do anything like this. A lot of people are going to look at this challenge and say, why do you have to do this to me? Why does God have to do this to me? This is God's fault. After all, He is the one that's in control. But in Romans chapter 5 and in verse 3, Paul said, we should glory in tribulations. In fact, Paul would go on to say that this is nothing more than an opportunity. Because it's through tribulations and it's through trials that you have the opportunity to persevere. And when you have the opportunity to persevere, you have the opportunity to develop character. And when you have the opportunity to develop character, you can produce within yourself a hope. And after all, that is the greatest thing. The hope that we have. So maybe we should focus on what's in front of us as Paul would. Focus on what's in front of us, not as something difficult that we have to endure, but as an opportunity. An opportunity for us to see what we're made of, an opportunity for us to grasp a hold of this hope that we have. Now that's easy to say, but not so easy to do. That's the hard part. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, as we look at some more words from Paul, as he talks about this idea of looking at tribulations as an opportunity. And is there anyone better to look at? Is there any better life to look at than the life of Paul? Is there anyone that had to overcome more? Is there anyone that had to endure more hardship? Is there anyone that was faced with more tribulation than the Apostle Paul? And this very letter that we're about to read from in Philippians was written from prison. And Paul spends the whole letter rejoicing, talking about the joy that he has. But I want us to notice some things in chapter 4 as we try to make application of this using tribulation as an opportunity. Using tribulation as an opportunity. And we're going to use Paul's advice beginning in chapter 4 and in verse 1. The first thing that we have to do in order to use tribulation as an opportunity, in order to persevere through that which is hard, is be committed. Chapter 4 and verse 1. Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord. The first thing you have to do, ladies and gentlemen, is be committed above all else. This is a time for you to be committed to the Lord. Quitting is easy, right? I tell that to kids every day. Every single day. I didn't do my homework last night. Why? I didn't feel like it. Yeah, I know. It's easy to quit, right? It's easy to be a quitter. It's easy to say, I just don't feel like it. I'm not going to do it. It's easy to go to basketball practice and that coach has been hammering you for 2 weeks. It's easy to say, I don't need this. I could be at home playing my Xbox. Everybody's good at basketball and Xbox, right? That's fun. That's easy. It's easy to be a quitter. But quitting is also what people regret. Paul said, don't be a quitter. He said, you have to stand fast. This is a time where our commitment is being tested. And it takes character, and it takes discipline, and it takes integrity to stay committed in a time like this. That's the first thing that we have to do. That's the first lesson from Paul. Be committed to the Lord no matter what. Skip down to verse 4. The second thing we have to do to persevere is to be rejoicing. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 4, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now notice what Paul didn't say. He didn't say, rejoice in the Lord when everything is good. Rejoice in the Lord when your life is completely in order. Rejoice in the Lord when you have it all figured out. Rejoice in the Lord when there's not 270 tornadoes that are destroying your community. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Folks, we're blessed. We're blessed. We're all blessed to be able to be here. Especially when there's so many people who are still looking for their loved ones. So many people who are suffering physical injuries due to the recent storms. So many people who've lost their homes. We're all blessed. And what's amazing is I got up Thursday morning and I went over to a friend of mine's house who... He completely lost his house, a two-story home that was less than 4 feet tall when I pulled up. And in so much sorrow, I didn't even know what to say to him. And he greeted me with a smile on his face. He said, hey man, how are you? Thanks for coming by. Because something made him realize that he's still blessed. He's still blessed. Turn to Romans chapter 8 quickly. As we talk about this idea of rejoicing in the Lord. Because there's a lot of people out there right now that are saying that we have no reason to rejoice. We have nothing to rejoice about. And this is a point in time where there is nothing for us to be joyous about. And it's definitely a point in time where we should have no reason to praise the Lord. Look what Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Rejoice in the Lord. Go to verse 28, same chapter. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Rejoice in the Lord. Skip to verse 31, same chapter. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, then who can be against us? Rejoice in the Lord. Skip down to verse 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Rejoice in the Lord. Finally, look at verse 38, same chapter. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Amen. Rejoice in the Lord, right? Rejoice in the Lord. The third thing, back in Philippians chapter 4. The third thing Paul says, in order to persevere through tribulations. In verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The third thing, ladies and gentlemen, is to be prayerful. Be prayerful. This is not a time to say, look what God has done. This is not a time to blame God. This is not a time to turn your back against God. This is a time for you to let God know that you need Him and that you recognize that you need Him. This is a time for us to be prayerful. If you've been a Christian very long, you probably noticed that when you start neglecting your prayer life, it seems like everything else gets harder. It seems like you start to struggle with everything else. You start to struggle with negative attitudes. You start to struggle with negative thoughts. When you start neglecting your prayer life, what you're doing is basically opening the door for Satan. And he's going to bombard you from every possible direction. This is a time for us to be devoted to prayer and committed to our prayer lives. If you want to get through something hard, Paul says, be prayerful. And you can have that peace of God that will guard your heart. The fourth thing I want us to notice in verse 8, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, we have to be focused. Beginning in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Focus your mind, ladies and gentlemen. Focus your mind on the things that are right and the things that are noble and the things that are just and the things that are pure, the things that are lovely, the things Paul says that are of good report. Focus your mind on those things and don't be distracted. There's a lot of things out there right now to distract you. But keep your focus where it needs to be. Jennifer and the kids and I had a dog named Smokey. And y'all can imagine where that name came from. And Smokey loved more than anything to eat. That was his favorite thing to do. He just wanted to eat all the time. I couldn't feed him. I couldn't feed him enough. And he would eat his food, and then we had another dog, and he would go and eat Ace's food too. And I would go out in the yard to play with Smokey, and I'd take a ball out there, and I would throw the ball, and he would go get it and bring it back. Well, he'd bring it back, but he wouldn't give it to me. You know how that goes. But Smokey would take off after this ball, and in the corner of his eye, he would see his food dish. So he'd be chasing that ball, and then all of a sudden he would stop and take off after the food. And just leave me standing there like, well, maybe next time. And that happened every single time. If I threw that ball in the direction of his food, he would take off after that ball and then say, oh, hey, I got to eat something. I might get tired while I go get that ball. But that's what happens to us sometimes. We get distracted. We're on that narrow path, and we have the goal in mind. We know what we're after. And then something over here catches our eye. David was going along just fine until Bathsheba caught his eye. And David turned and said, I'm going to go after that. This is not a time for us to be distracted. This is a time for us to be focused and intent on serving the Lord. No distractions. Stay on the narrow path. The next thing I want us to look at, skipping down to verse 11. We have to be content. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul said it doesn't matter. Those other circumstances don't matter. I'm content with whatever I have. You could have gave Paul the entire world. You could have gave him the whole world. What would he have done with it? He would have served God and glorified Him. You could have taken everything away from Paul. You could have literally taken everything away so that he had nothing. Then you could have taken him and beaten him and thrown him in prison. And then you could have looked him in the face and said, you will be executed in a short matter of time. And what would Paul have done? Served God and glorified Him. Just the same. Because Paul's outward circumstance was not what determined who Paul was. Paul was a bondservant of Jesus Christ. And he would have told you that as soon as he introduced himself. I'm fully confident after reading all of his letters. He would say, my name is Paul. I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ. His outward circumstances didn't determine who he was. Do your outward circumstances determine who you are? Are you content? Have you learned to be content with what you have? The last thing I want us to notice, to persevere through tribulation. In verse 13, we have to be confident. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul knew that Jesus was the answer. He knew that Christ was the answer. No matter what it was, whether it was something physical, whether it was the fact that he was going to lose his life, whether it was the fact that he was concerned about his brethren in another part of the world, no matter what it was, Paul knew. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus was the answer for Paul to everything. It didn't matter what the question was. What the question was irrelevant, because Paul already knew that Jesus was the answer. And folks, we have to be the same way. Jesus Christ is the answer. When we're going through temptation, Jesus Christ is the answer. When we're going through tribulation, when we're going through trials, when we're faced with what our community is faced with right now, Jesus Christ is the answer. When you lose your home, Jesus Christ is the answer. When you lose family members, Jesus Christ is the answer. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We have a Savior. Folks, we have a Savior that conquered death. We have a risen Savior that has conquered death. And if Jesus Christ can conquer death, what in your life can He not conquer? I want you to think about that. What in your life can Jesus Christ not conquer? The answer is nothing. Nothing. We can overcome. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Overcoming tribulation. Paul says you got to look at it as an opportunity. Because that's what it is. It's a chance for you to grow. It's a chance for you to develop. It's a chance for you to become established in the hope of eternal life. That's a great opportunity. This is a great opportunity that we've been given. So I know it's been a difficult last few days, and it'll probably be a difficult a few more days, and a few more months, and even a few more years. It'll be a long time before our community will completely overcome the devastation and the damage. It'll be a long time before people's lives are completely repaired. People who've lost their homes, people who've lost their loved ones. It'll be a long time before all that is repaired. It may never be repaired until one day. Until one day when we will all overcome together. If you have not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have another opportunity in front of you right now. This is a chance for you to come forward and to make repentance of your sins and to be baptized in the waters of salvation so that you can be saved and so that you can begin a new life where you can overcome through Christ who will give you strength. If you've made that decision in the past, but for some reason you have not been able to overcome, something has drug you down, you've been caught up with some temptation or some tribulation, maybe even a situation similar to this in your life has caused you to turn your back on the Lord, this is also an opportunity for you. And you can make that right if you'll come forward while we stand and sing.